Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining me in this session for Evolving Media Pipelines aided by Machine Learning. My name is Usman Shakil, and I'm the Tech Lead for Media and Entertainment for AWS. I know that I'm one of the last sessions in the afternoon, so I'll try to make it interesting. I have a couple of demos kind of built in there, and we'll see how much success I have kind of showcasing some of those demos. So very quickly, you know, as we talk about the media end-to-end, right, the evolution of the business within the media industry, one of the key things that we're seeing is that, the divide between the content owner and the consumer is kind of shortening, right? And consumers are really demanding that they want to watch this content anytime, anywhere, anyhow they want, etc., right? And it's kind of very similar to if you look at, or if you know the whole idea of singularity. How many of people here, quick show of hands, know about singularity? Few? Okay. So just to kind of give an idea, you know, this is basically a hypothesis that the super intelligence or artificial intelligence will abruptly have impact upon, say, different businesses or different technological growth, in a sense that the way that the human civilization does some of those things will kind of change, right? So if we look at from a media perspective, so you have your content owner and you have your viewers, and there's used to be, you say, intermediaries from, say, antenna, theater, and all these different channels. But with this technology in the middle now, right, whether that is machine learning, packaged media services, elastic infrastructure like, say, compute, storage, different ways of viewing the content from OTT to AR, VR, virtual reality, etc. And with an implication of the consumer now being more directly involved with the content itself, now requiring more and more personalization, more automation, more content, viewers, access, and quality. So what we're seeing is that that intermediaries in between is kind of shrinking, and the content and the viewers are much closer to each other, right? And this has a pretty big impact in terms of how the production company is used to produce content, right? Because again, they want to create more and more content. And how the broadcaster or the distribution of the content used to be done, right? Because they want to be able to supply this content or distribute this content to anywhere, anytime a user wants to see it. That means that they want to really scale heavily on the media supply chain aspect of this. So this is a quick sort of, say, implication there, that there is a lot more content depth, there is content anywhere, anytime, and there is a whole lot more personalization. So what does that really mean in this, you know, world of machine learning, basically, is that you want to be able to create and curate content more efficiently with the help of machine learning, right? What are some of the ways that people are looking at? What are some of the solutions there? If you want to distribute or deliver content anywhere, anytime, then you have to scale the supply chain. Again, machine learning based, right? How can you aid that workflow? And then personalization, because there's a whole lot of data, especially when the viewer is really close to the content itself, right? There's a lot of information that you can get from the way somebody is watching that content, the sentiment analysis, and all that kind of stuff, but and social media. And now there is all that content or data. How do you make sense out of that data with machine learning? So a very quick segue into some of the new sort of, say, things that we launched within machine learning, Amazon machine learning or AWS machine learning toolchain. So first of all, our vision within AWS is that we want to put machine learning in the hands of basically any developer and every data scientist out there. So how do we do that? The way we do that is by offering multiple different flavors of machine learning to our customers, whether they are, you know, really deep down in the mix where they want to look at sort of, say, specific frameworks, whether that is the underlying AI or ML frameworks, or if those are platforms, you know, say open source platforms or platforms that are commonly used within machine learning, how can we offer a fully managed experience from there to actually, you know, things or services that are fully managed services. So things like, say, fully baked algorithms or machine learning models that are available for consumption in the form of services. Things like, say, image recognition, or video analysis, or video video analysis, or speech recognition, natural language processing, etc. All these different things. So some of the customer use cases out there, and I'll kind of deep dive into a few of them. First of all, the NFL. Last season, NFL used AWS for their next-gen stats for real-time analysis of the actual players on the field. The Royal Wedding coming up tomorrow, actually being powered by the live stream, being powered by AWS Media Services, and with Grey Meta to be able to tag these celebrities, basically who's who within the app using Amazon machine learning. And we'll talk about it in a little bit more detail. C-SPAN is another customer that used the fully packaged Amazon facial recognition service or recognition to index over 99,000 faces over 200,000 hours of content very, very quickly. Condé Nast is another customer that actually uses the data that they get from their viewers to kind of match it to the underlying image analysis for recommending the right content based on their user habits. So very quickly kind of walking through this, right? If we start from the bottom and go up, as I mentioned before, our mission is to provide the machine learning in hands of all the developers and data scientists, right? What does that really mean? If you're deep down in there developing actual algorithms, et cetera, you want to be able to have the latest infrastructure at your fingertips, right? So we work, looking at those customer requirements backwards, so you know, from the infrastructure perspective, you'll see latest and greatest from whether that is a GPUs or FPGAs or CPU technology or IoT, edge compute, mobile, etc. So there are specific services around that that we offer. Going a little bit up there, frameworks and interfaces, as you'll see, there are many different frameworks, machine learning frameworks out there, right? Again, if you want to leverage a pre-built framework, whether that is TensorFlow, PyTorch, or Apache MXNet, whatever that happens to be, we offer these as fully managed machine learning images on top of the AWS platform. So as a user, you can just simply go launch a built-in TensorFlow EC2 on top of EC2, say our compute layer, and be able to run TensorFlow-based interfaces. Then going up the chain, there is the platform services like Amazon SageMaker, and I'll talk about it in more detail. Again, giving the customer the flexibility, but at a fully managed way, where you can go in and create a model based on any one of the machine learning algorithms, like say image classifiers or binary analysis, etc., out there, and be able to run in a fully managed way and get your results quickly. AWS DeepLens, which is a cloud-based camera with a full SDK support, and I'll talk about in more detail how that integrates. But the idea being, going from the edge itself, offering you the connectivity to machine learning infrastructure or technologies that are running in the cloud. And then, top of the stack, fully managed services. So whether that is facial recognition or image analysis that you want to do, or natural language processing, from a transcription perspective, translation, or utterances, comprehensive analysis of Comprehend, as well as Lex, which is our speech-to-text service. So this kind of gives you an idea of the sort of say breadth as well as the depth of the machine learning within AWS. Now, it's not just about machine learning. We look at it further downstream, where how can we make it relevant to different verticals? So things like media and entertainment, okay? So late last year in 2017, we launched AWS Elemental Media Services that are fully managed services for transcoding, live streaming, packaging, personalized dynamic ad insertions, etc. And what we've done is we've actually integrated the machine learning technologies that we offer directly into that. So in this particular scenario, as you can see, you know, if you're looking at an end-to-end chain from whether that is live streaming or file-based, you know, you could insert basically machine learning technologies, whether that is tagging of objects or personalization, etc., right into the underlying media and entertainment stack. On the security side of things, that's another great example, right, where we've done a lot of work. These are all the different services that we have, from DDoS protection to data protection itself, content access and identity, threat detection. All of these services are actually leveraging machine learning behind the scenes. As an example, we launched Amazon Macy that looks at users' S3 buckets, you know, and identifies specific areas that could be vulnerable based on the behavior that's being seen. Also, it also tags, if you enable it, the aspects within your S3 bucket, if a particular piece of content is important, whether that is PII information, etc., right? Similarly, Amazon Guard Duty is another one which is very important. It actually not just looks at S3, but rather your entire environment, you know, from a perspective of how different vulnerabilities could be happening in the future, right? So kind of giving you this kind of step in the future to take proactive action rather than wait. Then lastly, we don't just stop there. We take these building blocks, right, of services, say whether that is recognition or SageMaker to build your custom models, etc. But we look at, say, what are our customers looking for from a final solution set perspective, whether that is celebrity tracking or closed caption or subtitling or whatever that is. We've actually built these quick starts where you can just simply go in there, and these things are, say, one-click deploy kind of models that set up that environment for you, you know, for you to kind of get you started really quickly of how these services can be tied in together to build a solution that you're looking for. So some of the challenges within deep learning, what we see is, I mean, there is a lot of stuff out there, from different frameworks to different models to data sets, etc. But really, it's about scalability, flexibility, and training, right? So you mean anybody could go pick up any one of these libraries or frameworks out there, spin up on an infrastructure and get going, but can you get the scale? Can you get the flexibility, right? If you get the scale in some other platforms, you don't get the flexibility because you're boxed into the offering that they particularly offer, right? Whereas what we look at, we believe that there needs to be a lot of flexibility within ML space. Why? Because anytime you're trying to understand the answer to a problem with the help of machine learning, it's going to really require on the specific business case, which is the data set. Right? Just to kind of give you an example, I was talking to a customer the other day that wants to come up with a solution for closed captioning. And they're saying, well, for that particular case, it's just the accent which is different, right? So certain models will detect a particular accent, not all the different accents, right? How do you put the caption within the screen? You know, there is different titles or different tiles within the screen. So understanding that and creating a generic solution is almost impossible, right? The other piece is, we can say that, you know, we've done a lot of progress with respect to machine learning and deep learning and all of those great things. There is still that human factor that kind of comes into play, right? Because at the end of the day, there is the human assist element that you'll see in many cases that I'll talk about later. It's going to be there. Then, so that means basically different kind of training models, algorithms, and variable sets. You need to scale. And then use case requirements at the end of the day will determine what the consumption patterns are going to be, right? So if it is, hey, I want an answer to a problem, okay, great, I don't need a fancy looking UI or a scalable API, right? I can just simply come up with this answer, scale up, and I'm done. Right? Versus, let's say, if you're coming up with a solution to recommendations engine, right? For every single user, you have to basically respond to a query that's going to be asked by the UI. So there are different requirements in each case, and it's very important when you try to pick a particular platform for machine learning for your use case scenario. So a quick deep dive into SageMaker and DeepLens, because that's, you know, new, and I feel that's where really the power of machine learning is. So SageMaker is a service that's fully managed out of the AWS console that you can go in and basically, first of all, build your model using any one of the frameworks out there, which is available to you at your fingertips. You can then train that model by simply, you know, as simple as like one click for machine learning, deep learning, and custom algorithms. And there's a lot of different algorithms out there, from image classification to several others out there. And then you can also customize the hyperparameters or optimize it based on that. And then once you're all done training your data set, which is your custom data set, you can then go on to deploying it, right? Which is a fully scalable endpoint for issuing references or inferences rather against your machine learning model, right? So just to kind of give you an example, let's say if I want to build a recommendations engine, right? I will basically take the data set that I have across multiple different user habits, my user data, etc., train it, and then I will, the deployment step will give me a scalable endpoint for my application to go and start querying against. DeepLens is actually a fully programmable video camera. It is optimized for deep learning on devices with Apache MXNet, Caffe, and TensorFlow. So you can actually have a model that you train with SageMaker, as I said before, actually running on top of DeepLens. So now you have machine learning on the edge. There is a bunch of tutorial sample code, etc., that's available there. And this is a quick kind of, you know, architecture of how this works, is that you know, you will first train your model in SageMaker if you want to use a custom model, and you can push it into the device, the camera itself, and then you have, say, the camera that pushes the video and data based on the inference here that goes into the AWS cloud, and every single time, you know, there is something important or something interesting, a Lambda function gets triggered that'll take the underlying machine learning action. So let's move into some of the use cases here. On the content depth side, so we're talking about, you know, really how can we create efficiencies within content production, right? So it's really about creating and curating content. So customers come to us with several different use cases, from, you know, color correction workflow to QC workflow, scene extraction, performance optimizations of their underlying render farms or transcoding fleets, caption generation, translations, automated narration, etc. Basically, the idea being, you know, all of these in some shape or form, using a specific type of data set, a specific type of model, and a specific machine learning algorithm, which is sort of, say, applicable here, right? So a few quick sort of, say, architectural patterns, how we solve it for some of our customers. Metadata tagging, if you want to do that, basically you have your video uploaded into S3, which is our storage service, that automatically triggers a Lambda function, which is functions in the cloud, right? It says, hey, file whatever XYZ is copied in S3 now. And then it also triggers a recognition video, which is basically an API-based image classifier. And it can take that and extract out objects, it can extract out celebrities, etc. So as simple as that, without even running any server or anything, you can simply deploy a model that can tag objects, that can detect particular persons of interest, as well as transcribe, which is take the speech and convert it into text for subtitling, and store it all available for you in the asset management system, which can then be searched. Similarly, for person and scene detection, you know, there is a library of faces that you'll have, you know, that you'll store in S3. You'll run a first pass with recognition and create a face collection. And then at the same time, when the video comes in, recognition then does a match for you based on the previous database that it has built. So right here is a sort of, say, video, if you will, of a demo that, you know, one of the guys in my team created. As you can see right there, you know, in this particular play, you know, it has identified the underlying players, and you can click on a specific player, and basically it will start or give you that time code of the video where that particular person appears. Now let's move on to the machine learning aided content curation, right? So we're basically metadata. One of the key things is that it's not about sort of say, how do I efficiently extract out metadata from a snippet of video or from a particular piece of content. It's also about, you know, the metadata that is, say, on the set or on the place of the event, et cetera, et cetera. How is it all captured? What are some of the lighting conditions when this, sort of say, a particular video was captured, right? If it's a sports event, you know, what happened, where? And there's a lot of manual sort of metadata that comes into play as well. And as I said before, so no matter, you know, how accurate your prediction at the end of the day with machine learning is, with custom data set and everything, there is still a pass, a human pass that customers want to do. So how do you keep track of all this metadata from the field or from the event, the venue itself, all the way back into the actual compute processing where machine learning processing or automation is being done, right? So that's where things like you know, edge compute becomes very relevant, and I talked about some of the things that, you know, Pearson is offering there. And these are some of the use cases that we see, you know, in that scenario. One of the examples there, we're excited to be working with Sky News and Gray Meta and UI-centric to actually give to our viewers basically an in-app experience of who's who for the royal wedding. So as the guests kind of get into the chapel, basically. I actually have an architecture diagram for it. So when the guests actually arrive into the chapel, what you'll see is that there is a live video which is being acquired, and it's a high definition video that goes into an Elemental live encoder on premises, on site, that then pushes it into the cloud, into Elemental Media Live, and then Elemental Media Package that actually does DRM on top of it. And then from that perspective, it actually can call Gray Meta, and then Gray Meta actually does the celebrity detection from there using Amazon recognition. Now, there are several key aspects there that they have to keep into consideration, from the data set itself to the guest list, right? First of all, you know, nobody has released the guest list, so if you have to go build that face, like say user face library, facial library, how are you gonna go build it if you don't know, you know, what the persons or people of interest are? Secondly, there are several things from, say, weather conditions to, you know, people having different ways, the way they walk, or, you know, their sentiments, etc. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. But the idea is that how do you deliver a live experience end-to-end within 60 seconds that also involves a human element to, sort of say, approve or reject a particular detection of a celebrity. So that was all done recently using Amazon recognition. From a scalability perspective, you know, scaling the supply chain, some of the use cases that customers are looking into, given I'm kind of running short on time, I will kind of skip past it quickly. So here, again, this is a demo that one of my guys in my team created. What this is doing is actually taking the video in and passing it through Amazon Transcribe and Translate and actually creating a the text, the speech to text, as well as translating it into several different languages. Also uses Amazon Comprehend to do sentiment analysis of what are some of the positive things or negative things that are being talked about within that script. And then recognition to do facial recognition or tagging. Another one actually that I just built while coming here, logo detection using SageMaker. So this one, you know, you have in this particular scenario, you know, there is a Caltech image database that I went down to and, you know, downloaded a bunch of that images in S3, and then I use an image classification that uses ResNet behind the scenes to classify this data and train on SageMaker, put it on S3, and then from there be able to create an inference or endpoint that can be queried against, and you can run it to get you know, user data. I'm gonna quickly move to the demo here because I think that's pretty interesting. And then from there, if we have any time, I'll just quickly sum up. So this here is a, if I can switch one second.
All right,
there we go. So this right here is an interface for for the SageMaker notebook. It's actually using a Jupyter notebook. And what it is right here, as you can see, there are a few sections here. The first one being the permissions, etc. The second one is actually using the classifier, the underlying classifier, which is image classification algorithm. And the third one is training on the specific data set where I have put the data set in my S3 bucket. And then from there, it's simply about creating the model and creating the endpoint, as I talked about some of the cases. And then this is the, once I have the interface all built, it's just about, doing the testing. So here, I'm gonna go ahead and download an image from the web here. So this right here is an image of Amazon Box, and now I'm gonna issue a query. And as you can see probably right here, it recognizes it as the Amazon logo with a probability of about 0.9861%. So that kind of gives you an idea that it's super easy to build, sort of say, a working example. Obviously, you're gonna have to refine it and all that for your specific use case scenario. But to build something like this, a complex use case, very, very easy with an application like, say, SageMaker. So very quickly, just summing up here, and I have apologized, I'm running out of time here. I do have some examples for recommendations engine, again, also using SageMaker. But the key idea here is that, at the end of the day, kind of look the customer from a customer perspective or the content owner perspective, kind of look at it as the content flywheel that is powered by machine learning, right? So you create more content, you get more viewers, then you get more data, which is more sentiment and viewing patterns that you can use machine learning analysis and efficiency towards better content monetization, actually recommendations engines or sentiment analysis, and then taking right decisions towards what are the next investments that you're gonna do with respect to your content, right? Then efficient content production and processing, how you can create efficiency within your pipelines, and then personalized smart content investments that leads to more and better content for your customers. Thank you very much for the time. And if you have any questions, I'll stick around here for a minute.